This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
We have got to stop meeting like this. We have got to stop meeting like this. Andy Paulson in for Igor again today. He's got some family in the area who he hasn't seen since before the pandemic. And so he poked his head in the newsroom late yesterday afternoon and said, I know it's short notice, but always happy to fill in and be here with Master Gardener Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Always family comes first.
Oh, yes, always. And we do have a couple of topics to start off with today. On my way out of my house, I noticed some growth on our trees, one of our trees out front, and I'm going to try to post it to the feed here over on Facebook if you're watching us on Facebook Live. If not, I'll post it directly to the Facebook page, facebook.com/WESB1075. And it's a fuzzy yellowish growth on the tree. I put the photo up here and Bob was looking at it. And you said, I've got gypsy moth
Egg casings
on the tree, and they're a pest.
Yeah, they are. And it goes in cycles, and this year it was a major pest. So this is something that all gardeners or homeowners should be looking for. Go out and inspect your trees, and they can put their egg casings even on the side of your house or fences, any upright structure. So if you go out there and scrape them off into a bucket or some container, and preferably with soapy water, that will kill them off. Or if you don't have the soapy water, just scrape them off into the bucket and then put them in the trash. But to get rid of those, and you know, you can use a stick, a knife, or your finger to scrape them off. But it's important because there could be up to 200 eggs in each one of those casings. Yeah. So by scraping them off, you're going to lessen that population by a great deal so they can't do harm to your tree again next year, because they'll sit there all winter long. You don't have to run out today and do it, but get out there soon.
And there's no hardcore insecticide that you need. Soapy water will do it just as well?
Yep. You don't need any insecticide at all for this. Yep. Just what we call mechanical means of getting rid of insects. And it's not going to do any harm to you. So scrape them off into a bucket. Because those, especially on that tree trunk, when they hatch, the first thing they're going to do is head up that tree that they're on. So you're going to lessen the damage of that tree a great deal. So that's a good thing to look for. And, you know, again, look for them on the side of your house or barn or fence, any structure like that. And scrape them off, and you've done a good service for yourself without any insecticides.
I remember growing up and having gypsy moth caterpillars around. They'll eat just about everything. They'd eat you if you'd let them, I think, sometimes.
I think so, too, yeah.
But, yeah, look, like I said, I will post the photo to the WESB Facebook page so you can take a look, check your foundation, check your trees. Check all around your yard, and if you see them, please get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's going to make all of our plants a lot happier.
Yep, you bet. And if you really don't want to do it, and you have kids, make a contest out of it and send the kids out there, see who can fill up a container the most. And then, of course, you've got to give them a prize, you know.
It's a good start, a good way to start teaching your kids about gardening.
Yeah, yeah.
These little tasks.
Yep.
Now, you told me that last week, I'm still thinking yesterday, last week you were talking about watering and you didn't get to finish all of your thoughts. And it's funny because driving in this morning, I was thinking about all the rain that we've had over the past couple of weeks, but it's what my grandfather used to call gully washers.
Yeah.
And he said, that that's not doing anyone any good because the rain comes down so hard and so fast that the ground doesn't have a chance to absorb it as much, and most of it's going to end up evaporating back into the atmosphere.
Yeah. And that's true. We've had a lot of gully washers. And that will lead me to the point of watering. And a lot of scientific tests have been done to lawns, not so much garden plants like petunias or tomato plants. But the same theory goes for both. And if you just water for a few minutes every once in a while, that water doesn't get a chance to go down in deep. So your roots will not go down deep. They will remain at the surface. And, of course, then there's a good chance that there may be some damage over the winter. You know, it won't kill your whole lawn, but areas of it may be a little weak. And then, of course, any other pressure that comes around, insects or just you mowing the lawn, can all add up to stresses. And a number of stresses all put together can start to really injure or even kill off a plant. So the watering part, I know I've always been taught, and I'm a firm believer, and most plants fail from improper watering. Most people will overwater their plants. So a good way to go about this is you really want to force your roots to go deep searching for water. And as they're searching for water, they're also searching for nutrients, for food. So don't just go out there and give a little sprinkle all the time, because that encourages roots to stay near the surface. And, of course, they can quickly dry out that way, or they can quickly lose the nutrients that they need because their dinner plate is kind of small. So when you do water, you want to water real heavy and slow to give it a chance to soak in deep into the soil. And, of course, the roots will follow it that way. So, and also, you don't want to water very often. You want to force those roots to search out for that water. There will be, after a rain, there will be water that's really down deep, even after a gully washer. And we want to force them roots to go down there to find it, because that's where they're going to be most protected come winter, or a hot, dry spell, or, you know, you just forgetting the water once in a while. So we really want to force those roots to go down deep. So try not to water. I know it's tough. People put in a new plant. They want to go out there and water it every day. Try not to do that, because all you're doing is encouraging them roots to stay near the surface. You're babying the plant, spoiling the plant. And, of course, not preparing it for what could come.
And, of course, the deeper and the broader the root system a plant has, the sturdier it's going to be.
Exactly. And because roots, their main purpose of life is to first anchor the plant in place so it can withstand winds or any other storms. And also to search out a food supply and water supply. And so the deeper and more spread out we can create that root system, the better apt it's going to survive and perform like we want it to. So, again, I know it's hard to do, but try not to baby that plant. Let it go dry once in a while. Believe me, even if the surface is dry an inch or two, there is water below. Your roots can sense that. And they will go down there looking for that. And, of course, by doing that, they're creating a bigger root system and, of course, a much healthier root system. And you're going to be better off in the long run with that. Going back to the gypsy moth caterpillar, a few days ago, I was in Smithport at a meeting, and I got a chance to see an apple tree that kind of amazed me and confused me for a while. This apple tree had a lot of apples on it. They were quite large. Even some of them were ripening. But the tree was in blossom also. Not just one or two. It had a lot of blossoms on it. And, of course, that really confused me at first till I got up closer and looked. And this is a guess, my guess. It had a lot of gypsy moth caterpillar egg casings on the trunk. So I know that the tree was attacked. So I looked a little closer and you could see where a lot of leaves had been chewed right to just a little, the main stem coming up the leaf, just that was left. What I think happened here, the gypsy moss probably after the tree had blossomed and set the blossoms and started to create the fruit, the gypsy moth caterpillars went and ate all the leaves. Now that shocked the tree into starting its growth cycle all over. So it, as starting the growth cycle all over, it also created buds and blossoms. And of course, now it's blooming right now. Now, next year, it probably won't bloom at all. But that's another reason to pay attention to your trees. And if you can, get out there and scrape those gypsy moth caterpillar egg casings off to protect it. But it was quite a neat sight for a guy like me to see an apple tree with apples even ripening, but still blooming.
And blooming broadly, too.
Yes, yeah, more than one or two blossoms. There were dozens and dozens of blossoms on the tree.
That must have been a sight.
Yeah, it was. It was really an incredible sight. And like I said, at first, very confusing. Why would a tree do this? Until I really started to put two and two together.
814-368-WESB, garden at WESB.com. If you have any questions. Is that a seed catalog that you brought you today?
No, this is one of the trade magazines that I get in this American Vegetable Grower.
Oh, I just saw the ad on the back, and I was thinking,
But had a real interesting article in it for me I'd like to pass on. It's talking about the vegetable growers, and I'm talking about farmers, you know, with more than an acre of land, and what happened to them this last year. Most local farmers all saw an increase in their business, and that's probably due to the increase in people thinking to buy local. So a lot of farmers were very happy with that. They all saw that increase. They also saw an increase in crop production, and we are yet to figure out why the increase in crop production. But the sales was very nice for the home producer there. And but they do still continue to have the one problem of getting enough help because of COVID. A lot of them can't really expand much because they just can't get the labor to continue. Most of these are the family-owned, but they still need extra help, you know, some part-time, some full-time people, but they are having that trouble getting the help. But I'm sure that'll all straighten out in the long run. But it was good news to hear that the local farmers are doing well.
It's after everything in this area over the past 18 months, I think the farmers really need a break.
Yeah, they do. They need a break indeed, yeah. And also through the article, you know, they were talking about some of the other pressures that have affected the farmers last year. All the results aren't in for this year. Still farmers, their number one crop is tomato. And then it goes right down the line. A lot of these farmers grow multiple crops, not just one crop. You know, these are small farms, which is a great thing. But They saw a decrease in a lot of the pest problems that they normally have, too. Now, no one really knows exactly why that is, but that's really good luck for them. A lot less powdery mildew, a lot less weed problem, and but a little bit of an increase in aphid problems. And all those are environmental problems. Every year, you know, as a gardener, you'll see the battles you have to fight are different every year, depending on what Mother Nature throws us. You know, is it going to be a hot, dry season? Is it going to be a cool, wet season, or even anything in between? That brings on different problems in the garden. So you always have to be prepared to change your battle plan. You know, just because it happened last year that you had a lot of aphids doesn't mean next year that you'll have a lot of aphids. Maybe something different, but there'll always be some battle there to fight.
You just have to be prepared for everything and anything.
Do. Yeah.
But fortunately, there are ways to deal with all the different pests and other problems.
There are, yes.
You just have to keep the reference books handy until you've memorized them all.
Or just remember every experience. Over time, you'll just get better and better at it. Another thing, though, that came to my mind, Andy, that because I got this question from a new gardener, said her squash plant she was talking about was looking pretty bad. Says a lot of the leaves near where I planted it in the ground seem to be dying off. And that's typical. And this is what your garden should look like this time of year. A lot of the good-looking growth will be out at the tips. The older growth, those leaves been there for a long period of time. And, of course, like most things, their vascular system starts to plug up and the plant disposes of them in one way or another. So that's really nothing to be concerned about. Even on your tomato plant, you know, some of those leaves at the bottom of the tomato plant near the ground look like they're dying off. That's really nothing to be concerned about. That's just typical. It's sending more of its energy up toward to the tips of the growing plant now and not wasting its energy on those lower leaves. It wants to make new leaves. So cut those off, discard them to help protect against diseases and funguses and bacteria that may occur while those leaves are dying off. But again, that's all typical. Just that your vegetable garden can look a little, what we call a shop worn or a little ragged this time of year. But believe me, everybody's is at this time of year.
It doesn't have to always be beautiful as long as it's healthy.
That's right.
Because you can make it look beautiful later on.
Yep. And some of the other points with some of the vining crops like the squash and cucumbers and so on, as they creep across the ground, that main stem will eventually put down another root out along that stem and then start to grow another branch off of that main stem. And that new branch will look extremely healthy with those brand new fresh leaves. And of course, hopefully it has enough time to produce flowers and get pollinated and produce fruit. So that is typical too. Along the main stem, it may look like that main stem is dying, but these new stems that have rooted down are starting to grow and look fresh again. And that, again, typical of any of the vining crops. That's just what they're supposed to do.
Area 814-368-9372, 368-WESB, or you can email garden@WESB.com if you've got a question for Bob. We're going to step away for a moment, have a word from our buddies at Worth W. Smith. Then we'll be back with more of The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
Get your summertime projects finished and get ready for fall at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Pressure-treated lumber is finally back in stock for your building projects, and you'll find plenty of driveway sealer while there's still time to get that project done. Carhartt apparel for fall has just arrived, as well as a full line of fire retardant gear. See their nice supply of decorative fall flags and stock up now on your canning jars while they last. Summer to fall, you'll find it all at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
You're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. I'm Andy Paulson with Master Gardener Bob Harris, and we do have someone on the line. Good morning. You're on the air with Bob.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple questions, if you could.
Sure.
I got some pepper plants I do.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like after they grow the peppers, and they get like this ring around the stem where it seems like it's dying off.
Yeah. Okay.
I was just wondering if that's just common, or if I should cut once they grow that ring and it starts looking like it's turned brown and dying off, just in that little ring area, if I should cut them or just let them go.
Yeah, I would cut them and use those pepper plants for a couple reasons. You want to, it may be a fungus or a bacteria problem, and you don't want it to get down in the fruit and ruin the fruit. So I would pick those. And also, by picking a pepper plant and most of your vegetable plants, the more often you pick them, that sends a signal to the plant that they have to produce more. So it'll keep your plant in production. You don't always have to grow that biggest pepper on the block. Sometimes just picking them soon helps make more peppers, and you'll have a bigger crop that way.
All right. Good deal. All right. Then I got a bunch of tomato plants.
Yeah.
Up out back in my garden, too. They're big and look really, really nice, they do, but they're not really ripening very, very quick. Getting like one or two cherry tomatoes by the day. There's bunches of green ones and flowers and everything, but they're just not ripening very quick. I was just making sure that's just, you know, kosher. A buddy of mine, you know, we planted ours both about the same time, just a little bit lower down the hill, and his have already, he's already gotten qualms of, you know, they're already about died off on him already. He's already harvested a bunch of tomatoes off of them and everything, and the squash and all that's doing really good and stuff too. But my tomatoes up just a little bit further up the hill, they're really luscious and green, and some of the vines are even taller than me, and I'm pretty near 6 foot tall, and they're taller than me, you know, and they've got flowers all over them, but they're just not seem like they're, you know,
ripening.
Forever ripening.
Okay. It could be a couple things here. Number one, you may be over-fertilizing. When you over-fertilize, you just give the plant the opportunity to continue growing and not produce or ripen its fruit because it's kind of fat and happy. The other thing may be is you should be just watering your tomato plant now.
I haven't done nothing to them all year. I haven't watered them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't put no fertilizer on them or nothing.
Okay.
All winter long and everything, all winter. In my garden area, in fall, I put all my leaves that I raked up into it, and I kept dumping my old coffee grounds and eggshells and whatnots in there and stuff all winter long and stuff.
Okay.
And I tilled it up in spring, and then before I planted the tomatoes, I dumped some more eggshells in the holes.
Ah, great.
I've got a spring up the hill, about maybe 100 foot, maybe up the hill.
Yeah.
Which I dug out like a little pond area to get my water for my house plants, you know.
Okay.
I mulched my garden after I planted everything, so I got a layer of leaf mulch over it.
Yeah.
And the way I see it is the water would seep underneath the ground all the way down the hill and keeps the garden watered, so I haven't watered it all summer or nothing. So, nor have I fertilized it or nothing. So.
Okay, you're doing all good. So, one other thing, it can be a tomato plant tends to make more leaves than it really needs. And, of course, those leaves can shade the fruit. The fruit does need some sun to help ripen it. So it may be a good idea for you to go out and thin out some of those leaves, prune off some of those leaves so the sun can get through the whole plant. And, of course, once that sun does get through the whole plant, it's going to help start ripening those tomatoes. Or could it possibly be that... they're getting a little shade that they never got before, that maybe a tree grew a little bit more and produced a few more leaves this year, and now casting a little shade on that tomato plant?
That's a possibility that it's not getting quite as, because last year they seemed to ripen up fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, but I did trim up a maple tree that's, you know, and it seemed like it may have bushed it out a little bit more, so it's not getting quite as much sun as they did last year.
Okay.
So,
and no big deal, though. So
quite as much.
So to help it, so you don't have to trim that tree again, is go thin out some of those leaves so that you can see real easily through the plant. That'll let more sunlight in, and, of course, that will encourage that those tomatoes to ripen quicker. Now, it's going to take a little time, but try that, and I think you'll be successful.
Great. Yeah, I'll go up there and start trimming them on out, toss the leaves in the mulch pile.
Yeah.
So, all right, then. All right, thanks a lot, guy.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening to The Gardening Show on WESB. We do still have time for another call. I know someone, in fact, there they are. They called back. Good morning. You're on the air with Bob.
Yes, I have a question about a tomato plant.
Uh-huh.
I bought a tomato plant, and I got one tomato, and then as soon as they were blossomed to get a tomato, they would turn brown and die. And then a month later, now I'm getting another tomato. What would be causing that? It mainly was out in the rain, but it's in a pot,
Okay.
Something like that. I've never, when I get tomatoes, I've always had plenty. Now I'm on my second one.
Just two tomatoes you've had on one plant?
That's it. This is my second one now, just growing. It's green. It's probably the size of a quarter right now.
Yeah. But do you have blossoms on the plant?
I do, but some of the blossoms would just dry up and die.
Oh, mercy. Okay, because
that... anything like that in a plant. I bought the plant at a sale, and they said, oh, you'll get plenty. I got one.
One, yeah. So there can be several reasons, but the one that comes to my mind first is possibly you're watering, and I talked about that earlier.
Okay, I'm not watering it much. I did give it Miracle-Gro maybe once a week.
Yeah. Yeah, tomatoes do drink a lot. They're not like the average plant. And since it's in a pot, you don't need to force it to grow that big root system. So maybe your watering hasn't been adequate enough for that plant, so it's sending a signal to the plant, I better not produce fruit because I can't support it because I don't have enough water. So possibly try to get on a good schedule of watering, making sure it's a good deep watering. How big of a pot is it?
Oh, probably maybe 10 to 12 inch. It's a good size pot.
Okay. So, a good gallon or 2 gallons of water every time you see it dry out, and don't let it... remain dry for a long period of time. Tomato plants just don't like that. So I think if you just try switch up your watering system, that maybe you'll have a little more success.
Just like the leaves on the bottom that are dying, I have a new root, a new stem growing out that's got little blossoms on them now. Isn't that strange that I haven't had them for a month and now I'm getting a tomato?
Yeah, it is a little strange. And again, it may be due to how you've watered it through the season.
Right. It got plenty of water. But, I mean, the only time I really water it, when it was bone dry and the leaves start wilting. Then it perks right back up.
Yeah. Tomato plant, a lot of plants, you want to let them wilt once in a while. But a tomato plant is a little different. You don't want it to wilt. You want to keep it watered well every day.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's getting plenty of sun, right?
Yes, it does. Stick it out. And when we have very heavy rain, I stick it out there, and that's what I think brought on the second tomato.
Yeah, that's not good. It should be producing a lot more tomatoes than that.
Well, I thought, too. Maybe it's just an unusual plant. I don't know. But it's getting bigger. It's really good size.
Oh, good. And then possibly there's a lot of tomatoes yet to come.
Let's hope so, right?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, and have a nice day.
Okay, you too.
Yeah, you know when you bite into a tomato and you get that huge whoosh?
Yeah.
Overwhelming your mouth with liquid? That's where the water goes. That's why tomatoes need so much water.
Yeah, they do.
All right. 814-368-WESB. We don't really have time for another call today, but if you have a question, just drop it in email, garden@WESB.com. You can include photos. So Bob knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy to answer your question next week. Anything to close out the show today, Bob?
Geez, I can't think of a thing here. I'm still thinking of that poor lady, only one tomato on her tomato plant.
A few years ago, I had a tomato plant that I planted, and it took forever to produce one tomato, and then it took forever again. But once it started...
Yeah.
They started coming, and I'd harvest, and they would come more and more. So it's sometimes just a question of patience.
Yeah, sometimes it is, because some tomato plants don't take a long period of time to produce. Some tomato plants start producing after 30 or 40 days. Some tomato plants don't want to produce till 60 to 90 days. So maybe she's got just one of those later tomatoes.
I hate to anthropomorphize the plant, but when it feels safe, when it's like, okay, now I can produce fruit.
Yeah.
If there's something wrong with it, it won't produce fruit because, like you said, it thinks it can't sustain it.
Yes, that's right. And that usually boils down to watering.
And we are all out of time now. Thank you again, Bob.
You're welcome, Andy.
I will be in eventually again with you. Yeah. And once again, if you have a question during the week, drop it in email, garden@WESB.com. And we will take it up next week on The Gardening Show here on B107.5 FM.